All right, well, tonight, the lesson tonight is called The Power of God's Word. And so you can guess what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the Bible. We're going to be talking about Scripture. We're going to be talking about how the Word of God is effective and how it can be effective in our lives in a practical way. Now, there's an awful lot of talk in Christian circles concerning the Word of God. Specifically, I want to talk to you about the way in which it has power to change us, power to change our destination. It has a couple of, there's actually three primary points that I want to make tonight. The first is that it's the inspired and inerrant word. We see God's power in that. The second thing is we see the power of God's word in that it is the power of God's word which it provides and prepares. And then finally, we're going to talk about how it is the power of God's word that is able to save and to sanctify. To save and to sanctify. But you see, the Word of God has a power about it. There's something about the words of God written down for us, for man to see, that's very unique. And this morning, as Nick was being baptized right afterwards, those of you who were here, you may have noticed I gave him a Bible. Now, that Bible, its power, and I kind of mentioned this for a brief moment during the message this morning, that the effectiveness of the Bible, and we spoke on it briefly in our Sunday school class with the teens, the power of the Word of God and how effective it is in your life, it is directly related to if you believe it. That's what it matters. If you don't believe the Word of God, it will have no power to change you or to do anything in your life. Step one is believing that the Word of God is God's Word. Now, well, let's pray and then we'll get into it because I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Join me as we pray for the message. Father God, we come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have here, Lord, gathered together. Lord, we pray that you would fill each and every one of us with a desire for you that is never quenched. Father, give our hearts, Lord, a desire for you, Lord, that is, Father, continually growing, Father, that reaches out and that spreads to others around us, Lord, that it's not just a fire that we have that we keep to ourselves, but, Lord, one that spreads throughout our family, throughout those that we come in contact with. Father, we ask that you'd be with me as I give the message tonight, Lord. Help me to speak it, to teach it clearly, Lord. Help us all to have ears that are open to hear it, Lord, and a heart that's open to receive it. Father, help us to see the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, to understand and to acknowledge that the words in the Bible are not simply words on a page. It's not just another book. It's the word of Almighty God. And Father, that if we incline our hearts to it, Father, that mighty things can and will be done, both for our blessing and for your glory. Father, we pray for anyone who doesn't know you tonight. Lord, we pray that the Spirit would be moving amongst us. Lord, we pray for our church family, those that are here and those that couldn't be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was about to mention, and I wanted to pray before we got here, though, that we have a Bible reading plan that I kind of placed out there for us, kind of a guide, so to speak, on how we can read through the Bible in a year. And you read through the Bible at whatever pace and however you like to, but the important thing about reading the Word of God is that we have to acknowledge that our goal is not to finish it. It's not to simply say that I've read this much today or I read this much this year, because the reading, if we don't believe, first of all, and secondly, if we're not grasping and understanding it, it's not going to be effective in our lives. We need to read the Word of God, take our time, and really think of it as us spending that time with God, so that we can get to know Him, we can get to know His desire for us, we can get to know His plans for the world. Now, the Bible is not just a book of books. It is the book of books. First and foremost, I want to talk to you about why it's important that we understand the power of God can be seen only if we first see that it is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Nick shared a similar testimony of what I believe is probably a very common testimony this morning during his baptism. He said that he'd been baptized before, he'd grown up in the church, he heard all of the Word of God, but it really wasn't in him. He said he didn't feel God in his life. And that's very similar to my story growing up. I told you that as a young man, I heard the Word of God on multiple times a week. My father was a pastor. I was in the church all the time. The words were taught to me in Sunday school. They were taught to me, and I heard them preach from the pulpit. I'd go home, my parents, they were good, God-fearing people, and they made sure that we knew the Word of God. We had Bible studies at the house. And through all of this, even as a young man, nothing was really changing in my heart. I wasn't changing. Now, this concerned me as I got much older, and I finally did come to a place where the Word of God was able to penetrate my hard heart. But looking back, I had to stop and ask myself, why all those years was the Word of God ineffective in my life? And the truth of the matter is, as I look back, I realize now that at the time it didn't have power in my life because I didn't really believe that it was the infallible, inerrant Word of God. You see, I knew it and I agreed with it. I agreed with the Word, but I didn't truly believe in the Word. And those are two different things. I want to share something with you. 2 Timothy 3:16, of course, is a very well-known verse. It tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. But I want to share with you one more verse. 2 Peter 1:19-21. Listen closely to what this says about the Word of God. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so I want to point something out to you that I hope that you've caught this, and if not, I'm going to hopefully make this very clear. It speaks about the Old Testament. It's talking about how all of the things that were written, that they were written by men who were being moved by the Spirit of God. In the New Testament, with the verse that we read just prior there with 2 Timothy, tells us that the Scripture is inspired by God, that they were holy men, godly men, and that although the Bible has, and I had a discussion with someone about this just this week, the Bible has, yes, it is a book of many books, and therefore it has many writers, as many as 40, they assume, somewhere in that range. But there's only one author. There's only one author, and that's Almighty God, though he had 40 or more writers. Now, the reason that I bring this up is that if we want to see the power of God in our lives, we want to see the power of his Word, in order for us to really believe in the Word of God, we have to have some understandings, folks. I'm going to list a few things for us here. First of all, we can't pick and choose. We cannot pick and choose what scriptures we like and what we disagree with. I was speaking with a man earlier this week, and he said that he believed in the Bible and that he agreed with it. However, he said he couldn't agree with everything in the Bible. He said there were things in there that didn't make logical sense to him. He said there were things in there that there's no way anyone can explain that. Folks, that's not believing in the Bible. It's all or nothing. And I'll explain to you why from a logical standpoint of why we must believe everything, cover to cover, is the inerrant Word of God, or we shouldn't believe any of it. Here's why. First of all, the Bible is God's revelation of himself to mankind. If there's anything in the Bible that has been corrupted, and that was one of the arguments that the man that I was speaking with made. If anything in the Bible has been corrupted, has been changed, has been added in because some person wanted to put their own thoughts on something, or if maybe it was a bias of the culture at the time, or whatever the case may be. If anything, even the most minute of Scripture, was not the will of God to be put into the book, then that means that God was unable to preserve his word. And if that's the case, then he's not God. Second, Second thing about that. If there's anything in the Word of God that we say is questioning, is able to be questioned, is able to look at it and say, well, I don't know if I believe that, then that means that everything in the book is open for question and debate. And when we open that book, when we open up that can of worms, so to speak, we come to a place where we no longer trust in the authority of the Scriptures to be the Word of God. Rather, we now place the Word of God on trial, so to speak. We make ourselves judge over what is and is not accurate. We cannot do that. Either we believe the Word of God in its entirety as infallible, inerrant, and inspired, or we can't believe any of it. And so it's important first that we have this understanding, because the Word of God is not going to have a power in your life. It's not going to change your life. You're not going to be able to draw closer to God through it unless you truly believe and accept that the Word of God is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God without questioning, without doubting. If you can't trust in it, how do you expect to live by it? And how do you expect for God to come into your life through it if you read it and immediately doubt before you ever tried to apply it? So the first thing that we need to know about the power of God's Word is that we must understand that it is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. I also want to point something out to you about what I think is absolutely amazing about the Word of God. And it shows God's heart. God is speaking to us through His Word because He has initiated a relationship between God and man. Do you realize that that's what the Bible is, folks? It is God reaching out to a lost humanity, a condemned humanity, saying, I am here, and here's who I am. God takes the initiative. He doesn't wait for man to come. I'm tired of hearing that. That makes me so sick to my stomach when I hear people say that. God's just waiting. No, God, He was never just waiting around sitting there. He gave you the word of His, through the prophets in the Old Testament. He came powerfully to deliver His people. Then He gave us the word through the writers of the New Testament. He came as bodily as a man. God has never just been sitting around waiting. He has always initiated the relationship. He has always come to man. In the garden, here's an example. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned and they ate that fruit, and what did they do? They hid themselves from God. Who was it that came to who? God came to them in the midst of the garden, and He said, where are you? Why are you hiding? We see the same thing every single example. Whenever David sinned against God with Bathsheba and his servant Uriah, things went on for I don't know how long, and what happens? God sends His servant Nathan, the prophet, to David. Why? Because when a prophet speaks, he's speaking for God. When Nathan goes to David, God is initiating it. God is saying, God is coming to him. Folks, it's always God. When you pick up your Bible, and I want you to see this, when you pick up your Bible, when you open it up and you begin to read these words, I want you to understand and to really feel, to believe the truth, which is that God has sent this word to you. All we have to do is listen to it, to follow it, and to hear His words. But they are God's words. He is initiating, He is reaching out to you through that Bible. That's the power of God's word. I want to point that out first before we even get into the power that it has in our lives. Because if you can't get the first step, if you can't get true faith and belief in the Word of God and see how beautiful a thing it is, then the rest of it's ineffective, as it was for me for so many years. Knowing it's not enough, you've got to believe it. So now I want to bring out a couple of things that the Word of God has power to make changes in our lives, both our current life here, the temporal, but also in the eternal. First and foremost, I want to talk to you about the power of the Word of God to provide and to prepare. To provide and to prepare. So first of all, I want us to understand that the Word of God prepares and it provides for us our every need. And I don't mean that in, I don't know the words to use, I'm not a very eloquent person, but I don't mean that in some silly sense. I literally mean the Word of God provides our every need. Literally. Let me explain. Now, the problem, the reason that we don't see this is often because God provides differently than we desire or differently than we expect. But He is providing for our needs. And another reason that we often don't see God's provision in our lives is because we focus not on our need, but we get confused on what the needs are and what our desires are. And when our focus is on our desires, God is trying to teach us, that's not what matters. That's not what I'm providing. I'm providing for your needs. Let me explain some of this. So often we focus on the things that we don't have. And because of this, we miss all that we do have. When Satan tempted Jesus, our Lord, in the wilderness, and we talked about this morning, just of happenstance, it happened to be what we were speaking on for our Sunday school lesson. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, he tried to get our Savior to focus on the things that he lacked. Did you notice that that's where the attack came? He was trying to attack him by getting him to focus on what he did not have, which at that time, of course, was food and water. That's what he was trying to tell him. He tempted him by trying to get his focus on what he did not have. But I want you to see something. Although he lacked these things, notice what Jesus replied there, and I believe you went over this as well during the Sunday school lesson. Matthew 4:4, he replied with a powerful truth. He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, let me explain to you how deep a statement that is, because you may have missed it. You may have missed how deep and powerful that is. Here's what he was actually saying. Jesus understood who held the life in his hands, just as we need to understand who holds our life in his hand. It's the one who's seated on that throne that we spoke of when we got to Revelation chapter 4. That's who holds your life in his hand. And Jesus knew that his life was not going to be forfeit, that his life was not going to end until Almighty God, who sit upon the throne, should allow it, regardless of how hungered he was or how thirsty he was. He trusted in the Word of God, and he trusted that the one who was sovereign was going to provide his needs. He wasn't worried about the things that the devil was tempting him with. He wasn't concerned with what was happening. He trusted in the Word of God, and he trusted in the Lord. I want you to see something here, and that's a powerful statement. That's a very powerful statement, especially whenever we lack something that we feel we need. It's very difficult to say, I need this, but I'm okay without it. Because why? Because God would provide it. So I want you to see something here. In Psalm chapter 37, turn with me to the book of Psalms here. If you have your Bibles with you, just turn over to Psalms real quick. And I want to show you chapter 37. Head down to verse 25 with me. I have been young and now am old. Catch the next part, folks. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The point that I want to make with you tonight is that God does indeed provide for his own. He does indeed. You may not have everything. You may not have all the things that you want. You may feel as if your needs are not being met. But I can assure you, the Word of God does not lie. It has been proven time and time again. He will provide for your needs. And I mean that. It bothers me so much when I see these preachers get up, well, guys, I'm standing at a pulpit anyway, and they talk about believe it, receive it. You can have everything. They talk about the handkerchief of power or whatnot. That is not what we're talking about. What I'm talking about is God, Almighty God, will provide for the needs of His people. And He provides for us in so much more than just our physical needs. He provides for us spiritually. He provides for us emotionally. He is with us, strengthening us in the time of sorrow. He comforts us in hardships. He tests us. When He's preparing us, He puts us into the proverbial fiery furnace, so to speak, and He strengthens our resolve against the world. He strengthens our resolve against sin and temptation to prepare us for the struggles that lie ahead, using the struggles that we're in today to prepare us for tomorrow. How does He do it? Through His Word. When you're struggling, when you're having hard times, where is it that we're told to go to find strength? To the Word of God. When you need guidance, when you need direction, when you need wisdom, where are we told to go? To the Word of God. Everything in this life is a simple choice of obey or do not obey. It truly is. If we go to the Word of God, we will have the answers that we seek. The question is, will we follow it? And I think what you'll find is what everyone always finds, that when you follow the Lord, He takes care of the rest. That's all that He's called us to do, to follow and to be obedient, and that God will take care of the rest. Again, it may not be what you expect, it may not be what we desire, but He will take care of it. I want to point out a few things for you here that I wrote down. First of all, I want to point out that God today is the same God that He was that fed the Israelites, the many thousands of people, for 40 years in the wilderness. He's the same God through Christ that fed the people, the multitude on the mount. He's the same God that saved your soul from the judgment that you so rightly deserve. He's the same God that gave His Son as a propitiation on Calvary. God is not going to stand by and not provide and not prepare. Throughout the Word of God, we see Him preparing His people for what lies ahead. A couple of things, a couple of titles of God that we see. He's the solid rock when our world is shaking, when your knees seem to get weak. He's the solid foundation that we can stand upon. His Word gives wisdom in times of uncertainty. He gives sight to the blind. Who here has ever read something in the Word of God and suddenly you begin to see or you begin to understand what before made no sense to you? Maybe it comes to you over time. Maybe you read something and you say, I've read this many times and just now I'm getting illumination. I'm getting understanding of it. Why? God is preparing us. How does He prepare? How does He provide? Through the power of His Word. If you want to be someone who's strong, if you want to be someone who's prepared for the world, we've got to get into God's Word. So often we wait until we're at the end of our own strength before we even begin to look at God's. If you're in the book of Psalms, go back to Psalm 28. The book of Psalms is a wonderful place to go for strength. It's a wonderful place to go for wisdom and for encouragement. Go to Psalms 28 with me, if you would, and read verse 7. Verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. Most of all, God's Word provides us. Do you know what God's Word provides us that nothing else can provide for us? Knowledge of God. A relationship with God. God's Word is the means by which God provides for us what we need to know to draw close to Him. What we need to know to be forgiven for sin. What we need to know in how to live and how to glorify God, which is the purpose of man. And it prepares us to do so, and it sanctifies us, but we'll get into that in a moment. One of the most beautiful verses we're going to read here in a moment speak of the power of God and how the Word of God is the means unto salvation for all. The last thing I want to talk to you about tonight is Its power to save and to sanctify. To save and to sanctify. So first of all, it provides and prepares us, but it also saves us and sanctifies us. First Colossians 1:18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Did you catch that? So many people, and this is a voice that's growing louder and louder today in the world. So many people the world over are thinking and are speaking out that the Word of God, that faith in God, that believing in the Bible, that believing in the Lord, they believe that it's foolishness. They say it can't be the truth. It doesn't make any sense. You're a fool. You're exhibiting blind faith. That voice is getting louder and louder in the world. But I draw your attention to the verse that we just read there. There in verse 18, what does it say? The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. The Word of God tells us that they're going to think it's foolishness. The Word of God tells us that their eyes aren't going to be open, that they're going to be blind to it. But for you and I, the Word of God is the power unto salvation. This is exactly the response that he says that we'll see. I want to take you now to Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also the Greek." The Word of God, why is it so powerful? Why is it such an important thing that we are in this Word daily? Folks, this is the means by which we come to know God. This is the means by which we are saved. This is the means by which we come to faith. This is the means by which God begins to sanctify us and to conform us to the image of God. This is the means by which He works His will and that He is able to call us to Him. It's through His Word. Folks, I pray that if there's anyone here who's been struggling with their faithfulness to the reading of God's Word, maybe you've not been as faithful as you'd like to be. Maybe you've had some times when you just think to yourself, you know, I really haven't been in the Word of God like I'd like to be. Might I encourage you, please, get into the Word of God. Your relationship depends upon it. If you don't know the Lord, then you need to get into the Word of God. I want to give you a few more verses here. Now, once we receive salvation, we've already seen that it's the power of the Word of God. God's power is seen in it to save. And I spoke to you a moment ago about how it's also the means by which God sanctifies. In other words, remember how I told you that when I was a young man, there was no power in the Word for me because I didn't really believe in it? It really wasn't changing me? Well, folks, if you do believe in it, you've got to get into it if you want to see it change you. Psalms 119:9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" What's the answer? "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." So what is it that brings about change? Folks, so many of the people in the world have mistaken this. No amount of wanting to be better will make you better. No amount of wanting to be obedient will make you obedient. The only thing that's going to change you is you getting into the Word of God and the Word of God getting into you. God changes you by the power of the Spirit, not by the will of the flesh. Not by the will of the flesh. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Maybe you're here today and you're not seeing this process take place in your life. Well, let me share with you another verse from 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, I want to draw your attention quickly before we come to the close tonight. I want to draw your attention to the end of the verse that we just read. It says, which effectually worketh in you that believe. The word of God is powerful and it is effective, and it will change you if you believe in it. Now we have become full circle back to the very first part and why I really thought it was important for us to focus in on this being the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God. Because there in the scripture that we just read, we see that if we do not believe it, it will not work effectually in our lives. It will not be effective. Now, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know God, or if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't have the relationship that they want to have, then I encourage you to get into the Word of God, to read the Word of God, draw close to Him so that you can feel the Spirit of God working in your life, so you can come to the truth of salvation. Here in a moment, we're going to have the congregation sing, and at that time, that'll be an invitation for whoever wants to come down. If you had never said, Lord, I've never felt the power of the Word of God in my life. I've never come to a place where I've read the Word of God and I've thought to myself that truly this is God's Word and not just a book. Lord, I've never placed my life fully and completely trusting in You to provide and to prepare me for my today and my tomorrow. If you've never been there, but you want to be, then in a moment as the congregation sings, I invite you to come, and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know that you're a child of the King.